Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up my latest ebook, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. In it, we take a look at life lessons that can be learned from 7 great fictional detectives and police officers, including Poirot, Joe Friday, Johnny Dollar, and Frank Cannon. The book is available at all major ebook stores, or just go over to store.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of The Adventures of Ellery Queen, and it's the Armed Forces Radio Services version of The Adventure of Dead Man's Cavern. The original air date, April the 15th of 1944.
The Adventures of Ellery Queen. For all you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations, a rebroadcast of radio's thrilling mystery drama, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Now, here's Ernest Chappell to introduce the guests and the show.
Ellery Queen invites you to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unraveled. Before revealing the solution, he stops the play, gives you a chance to solve the mystery. Our guest armchair detectives for this evening are Miss Marjorie Lawrence, Metropolitan Opera star, and Mr. Beverly Kelly of the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey combined shows. And now, Ellery Queen, master detective and your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Ernest Chappell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight we tell you the strange mystery of the ghost in the mountaintop cave. I call it The Adventure of Dead Man's Cavern.
Hello? But Mr. Queen doesn't know anyone in Canoga, New York, operator.
Canoga, New York? Give me that phone, Nikki.
Why the excitement, Mr. Queen?
Hello, operator. Ellery Queen. Put her on, please.
Put her on.
Hello, Grace?
Ellery, how's the mastermind?
It's grand to hear your voice, darling.
Darling?
What are you doing at your Adirondack Lodge, Grace?
Stretching my stool. How'd you like to join me this weekend?
Oh, it's a date. How about my gang, Dad Veeley and my secretary?
Well, really.
Sure, I'll have a lodge full anyway. Wait a minute, dear. I'll look up the train schedule.
You bet, darling. I'll hold on.
Ellery Queen, if you think I'm going to kick my heels around an Adirondack love nest while you and some shameless woman...
Grace? Why, Nikki, she's Dr. Grace Grayson, probably the most famous living woman physicist, an old friend.
Oh? How old?
About 50, Nikki.
Oh.
Ellery?
Yes?
There's a 9:45 out of Grand Central Saturday morning. I'll pick you and your folks up at Canoga Station. It ought to be fun.
Grace, I don't like that laugh. What have you got up your sleeve?
Oh, fiend. The fact is, you can help catch a murderer this weekend.
I thought so. Who is he?
A gentleman known as the Strangler.
The Strangler? That sounds grim. How many people has he killed?
29 at last report. Well, see you Saturday.
I could strangle you, Grace. String me along about catching a murderer who's been dead over 100 years. Why didn't you tell me he's the ghost of a local legend?
Well, I wanted to excite your curiosity, Ellery. Refill Inspector Queen.
No mind if I do, Dr. Grayson.
I'm getting plastered on this mountain there. So you got a ghost up here, huh, Doc?
Lives in a cave near this lodge, you said?
Yes, called Dead Man's Cavern.
Your 3 other guests seem mighty interested in that haunted cave, Grace.
Mr. and Mrs. Gabriel and Ernest Withers?
Hmm?
Well, I suppose I ought to warn you. Hector Gabriel and Ernest Withers are supernaturalists, spend their lives running down ghosts.
Oh,
here they come. Going to join us on the porch, gentlemen?
Oh, Gabby, you're a gullible idiot. The way you were taken in by that ectoplasm trick in Seattle.
Well, you would have been fooled too, Withers.
Oh, really?
Remember how I exposed that crowd of fake mediums in Nashville, Gabriel? But you were ready to tell the whole
Withers,
world.
You annoy me.
Sit down,
oh,
boy.
Oh,
now, that's
right.
The way you've been with those two for 20 years, Ellery. Friendly enemies.
Mr. Gabriel, I'm told you have the largest, most valuable library of psychic works in the world.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Queen. Eh, Withers?
Lucky dog. You've got books I'd give my right arm for.
Dr. Grayson tells us you two gentlemen are up here to investigate that haunted cave, Mr. Withers.
That's right, Inspector.
We're going to conduct a scientific experiment.
Now, see here, Hector Gabriel. I'll let you and Withers turn my lodge into a psychic laboratory, but don't drag the respectable name of science into it.
Are there actually psychic manifestations, Grace?
Oh, Lord. Some lug in 1840 began strangling people in that cave, and ever since then, they've... What's that?
Sounds like a wolf or something. Listen. Wait.
That's the moan, Gabriel. The ghost sound.
Now someone's screaming. That's no ghost.
Sounds like my wife. Told her Miss Porter took a walk in the woods and...
Here they come, running. Wife, Mrs. Gabriel.
Oh, hold it, dear.
Oh, there. What happened?
We were walking in the woods, Inspector, when that ghastly moaning started from the direction of that cave. Mrs. Gabriel got frightened. Hector, please. Don't you and Mr. Withers go near that cave. It's haunted.
Why, hold of us. What Withers and I came here for?
Yes, Mrs. Gabriel, if those moans were made by a ghost, it's our duty to psychic science.
Now, see here. Those sounds are a natural phenomenon. Nothing ghostly about them.
Then what made that noise, Dr. Grayson?
My dear child, the cavern probably has a peculiar rock structure which causes it to catch the wind at the top of the mountain and then expel it with a moaning, sonic effect.
There it is again.
Sure sounds funny, Harry. What do you think?
I think, Dad, we'd better have a look at Dead Man's Cavern.
Grace, must we go through these woods to get to the cave?
Yes, Ellery. No way of going around it. Sheer cliff on either side.
I wonder why the moan stopped with us.
Exasperating, Gabriel.
Hold it, everybody. Someone coming. Sounds like a big, heavy man.
Wasn't the strangler supposed to be big and heavy?
Oh, nonsense, Sergeant. It must be Hank Pete. Oh, I was right. Hi, Hank.
Hi, Professor. You hear them moan from Dead Man's Cavern, too?
Yes, we're going to the cavern now. Hank, these are friends of mine.
How do you do?
How do you do?
All right, Billy, get moving.
Strangler's getting pretty restless lately.
Huh? Say, Daniel Boone, you don't believe in this ghost bunk, too.
Man gets to believe in a lot of things, mister. Living alone up here in the hills.
Just what is the story of this strangler, Mr. Gabriel?
Well, some mountaineer, Mr. Queen, over...
Let me tell him, Gabriel. He lured wayfarers into the cave, you see, and strangled them for their money.
Nice fella.
What did he do with his victims' bodies?
There's a natural opening in the rear wall of the cave. Like a window.
It overlooks a lake, Inspector, the same lake that's behind my lodge.
The strangler threw his victims out of that cave window into the lake 50 feet below.
Never since them folks he strangled keep a moaning like you all heard.
Oh, of all the succotash hangs, the brute was finally caught and hanged.
It's the ghost of the strangler, murdering one of his victims all over again. Well... Here we are.
Right at the top of my mountain.
Oh, there's a clearing here between where the woods stop and the entrance to the cave.
Hey, ain't that a wooden door covering the entrance to the cave?
Yes, Sergeant.
Let's cross the clearing.
Good, really.
Oh, how come a door, Grace?
Hank Pete knows more about it than I do.
Some city fella a few years back put the door in, charged admission to see the haunted cave.
Was his name P.T. Barnum?
One night he was in here alone, and the moan started. He lit out like a buck deer, and he ain't been seen since.
Good stout door. Let's go in.
I think I'll stick right here by the entrance.
Sergeant, you'd never make a physicist.
Or a psychic research worker, either. Interesting cavern, eh, Mr. Queen?
Yes, Mr. Gabriel, from what I can see of it in this gloom.
Solid rock. No walls. Roof.
The roof is really the inside of the very crest of the mountain, Inspector.
And there's the window in the rear wall.
Yes, this opening looks right out over the lake. She'd drop at 50 feet.
What kind of experiment are you gentlemen intending to conduct here, Mr. Withers?
Well, Gabriel and I plan to spend an entire 24 hours in this cave, Inspector Queen, from 6 tomorrow morning until 6 a.m. the following day.
We'll take food, water, blankets, oil lamps, and a sound recording apparatus. We want to be in here when the morning begins.
Very scientific, you see.
Go ahead, jeer, you female Philistine.
Feeny. Dutch wine coming in.
Well, I got lonesome out there. Say, supposing you meet up with this ghost, don't you gents think you better pack a rod just in case?
If what's making them sounds could be shot, he'd be a dead ghost long ago.
We're taking every precaution against the possibility that the moans are caused by a human agency. We pick tomorrow for our vigil because the weather forecast for tonight is heavy rain. And the rain will soak down the loose earth of the clearing in front of the cave.
Yes, get it so soft that anyone approaching the cave will have to leave footprints in the mud. Well, let's go back, eh?
Yes, but you gentlemen will leave footprints when you cross the muddy clearing tomorrow morning.
We'll cross it barefoot to identify our own prints.
Appears to me like you two fellas aim to tinker with trouble.
My dear Pete, ghosts don't scare us. Gabriel, you have that new lock we brought out?
Yes, Withers. There. And the key remains in my pocket. Well, that's all until tomorrow morning at 6. If you want to see us off, you'll have to be up early.
We'll be up early, Mr. Gabriel.
Gosh, I'm sleepy, Ellery. Mrs. Gabriel and I had to double up last night, and she moaned all night long. Are the others following us?
All except Hector Gabriel. I wonder where Gabriel is. He bunked with me last night, but when I woke up this morning, he was already gone.
He must be waiting for us at the cave. Oh, look, Ellery. Is that the old woodsman Dr. Grayson mentioned last night?
Hank Pete? So, yes. Morning, Hank.
Fred.
Up early to see Mr. Gabriel and Mr. Withers start there watching the cave?
Mr. Queen, I've just been over to the clearing at the edge of the woods. Somebody's in that cave.
What?
Cave door's open.
What's that, Hank? Cave door open?
Why, it can't be. Gabriel and I put a new lock on it yesterday, and he has the only key.
Come see for yourselves.
It must be your husband, Mrs. Gabriel.
Well, I don't understand it, Sergeant. But weren't Mr. Gabriel and Mr. Withers to go into the cave together?
Yes, we were.
Keep your shade on, Mr. Withers.
Take a look.
The prints of a small man's bare feet.
And they go perfectly straight across the mud of the clearing to the cave door.
Just one set of prints. Ingoing.
Why, he's tricked me. His word of honor, we'd go in together. His word of honor.
I'm sure Hector wouldn't do anything dishonorable, Mr. Withers.
Well, these are his footprints, aren't they? There couldn't be anyone else's here. They're so small. Cheat.
Mr. Withers. You're a dreadful man.
Oh, it's probably a joke. Hector Gabriel!
Mr. Gabriel!
Hey, Mr. Gabriel!
Hector! Why don't you answer?
Something's wrong.
Dad, I'm crossing this clearing alone. I'll detour to keep out of the way of Gabriel's footprints. You have to follow me. Detour too.
Hi, son.
Dad, Billy.
Coming, Henry. Come on, Vinny.
I'm coming.
Something wrong, son?
What is it, Maestro?
Look.
Gabriel. On the cave floor.
With all his supplies around him.
Dead. Dead about an hour, I'd say. Since 5 a.m.
Face contorted by a horrible fear.
And no wonder. Look at his neck. He's been strangled.
Well, son, I don't get it. Even these marks of strangulation are queer.
You mean the upward-pointing thumb impressions at the back of Gabriel's neck?
Yes. Why weren't the thumbprints in his windpipe?
Oh, what was that?
It's Grace Grayson, Sergeant.
You and Hank Pease didn't mess up Gabriel's footprints in crossing the clearing, did you?
No, Ellery, we detoured, too. Poor Gabriel, I can't believe it yet. Hank, look at him.
Well, the ghost of the strangler, I told you...
Will you stop jabbering about ghosts, Daniel Boone?
You're scared.
Stop it, Hank. What are we going to do? Poor Holder's in a state of collapse. Nicky's trying frantically to calm her down, and that man with us hasn't uttered a word since this happened. Who did it?
Come outside. I want to show you something.
What is it, son?
The only way Gabriel's murderer could have got into the cave was the way Gabriel got in, by crossing this muddy clearing.
Well? Well, where are the killer's footprints?
You didn't see no prints in this mud when we got here this morning, except the ones of Gabriel's bare feet, did you?
I see. Obviously, the strangler entered the cave some other way.
How, Grace? The only other opening into the cave is that natural window in the rear wall, which overlooks the lake. That opening is 50 feet above the lake at the top of a sheer cliff.
The roof of the cave. Let a rope down.
We've been up there. It's covered with smooth mud.
And no human foot ever stepped on it.
And at the sides of the cave, it's sheer precipice, too. Oh, well, of course. The killer came here during the rain, which wiped out his prints. Lay in wait for Gabriel, who came when the rain had stopped.
What happened to the prints the killer made leaving?
That's not the important point, Dad. The killer couldn't have got into the cave before Gabriel, Grace. The door was locked with a new lock, and only Gabriel had the key, which is still on his person.
Then the killer used a grappling iron at the end of a strong line.
You mean throw a line up from the lake, Grace?
Yes. Someone stood in a boat on the lake below and threw up a grappling iron which caught the window.
Guess again, Dr. Grayson. An iron would have left scratch marks on the sill of the rocky opening.
And there ain't no scratch marks.
Then how do you explain it?
You're wasting your time. Ghosts don't need grappling irons. They don't leave footprints.
Yes, Grace. Remarkable as it seems, it looks as if Hank Pete is right. In the setup, Hector Gabriel could only have been strangled by a ghost.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
All this stuff. You've been crying a whole day and night.
But they took Hector away, Nicky. Why don't they let me go? I don't want to stay here.
What's the inspector up to? He keeps telephoning.
What's going on, Ellery?
I don't know, Grace. I'm still grappling with the problem of the strangler ghost. Wait.
The moan's from the cave again.
Oh, don't be silly, Nicky. It's the wind.
The wind, is it? It's the ghost. The ghost who strangled Hector. They can't keep us all here to be murdered. I'm going.
Where are you going, Mrs. Gabriel?
Oh, Dad.
Billy, shut that door and set your back against it.
Right, Inspector. Ghosts, huh?
Miss Gabriel, did I hear you say you were going somewhere?
Yes, Inspector. Home. And you can't stop me.
Miss Gabriel, I've done a lot of investigating by phone in the past 24 hours. One of the things I've discovered is that your husband was a rich man.
Hector, I suppose so, but...
What is it, Dad?
I've had Gabriel's will checked, Ellery. He leaves nearly his entire estate, worth a couple of $1 million, to his wife, Hulda.
You mean you think I killed Hector?
Your husband was almost 20 years older than you, Mrs. Gabriel.
Oh.
Yes, quite possible.
Why, you're crazy. Next thing we know, you'll be accusing me of strangling Gabriel.
Exactly what I had in mind, Mr. Withers.
Wait, what do you mean, Inspector?
You and Gabriel were at each other's throats for over 20 years, Withers. Enemies.
Why, we were friendly enemies.
Also, he owned something you wanted bad, Mr. Withers.
Gabriel's library. The most valuable collection of books on psychic phenomena in the world.
Right, son. One of the things I found out in the past 24 hours is that Gabriel willed a psychic library to Ernest Withers.
But that's so absurd, Inspector, to kill a man for possession of some books.
You think so, Dr. Grayson? Maybe you'll agree that your motive was stronger.
My motive? To kill Hector Gabriel?
Dad, Grace involved with Gabriel.
He was his first wife.
Gabriel's first wife? Did you know that, Ellery?
No, I didn't, Nicky. Grace.
Surely you're joking, Inspector.
Depends on your sense of humor, Dr. Grayson. Fact is, Hector Gabriel ditched you to marry Hulda.
And you know what they say about a woman scorned.
So you think I killed Hector out of revenge for having thrown me over? I can see your point, Inspector. Only I didn't.
It's not any one of us. It was the ghost, I tell you. The ghost!
Ah, that ghost story is a lot of camouflage.
Yes. One of you three strangled Gabriel in that cave. Only question is, which one?
Who would that be?
Billy, see what it is.
Right,
no. Inspector. No, please don't open that.
Oh, it's just old Hank, the woodsman.
What do you want, Pete?
Thought you'd want to know.
We'd want to know what, Hank?
Right at the edge of the woods where you enter the trail from here, just a couple of yards from the lodge, there's a lot of loose stones. Them stones were slippery from the rain.
Well?
Alongside them slippery stones is a couple of small juniper bushes. They've been smashed flat. I figure it's how this fella Gabriel slipped on them stones on his way to the cave yesterday morning and fell under them junipers.
That's a help, that is.
It certainly is, Sergeant. In fact, it clears up the mystery.
What do you mean, son?
I mean, Dad, that now I know the identity of the ghost of Dead Man's Cavern.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery of Dead Man's Cavern. Have you an answer to it? Well, suppose you compare solutions with our guest armchair detectives. Nikki, will you please introduce our guests?
Well, Ellery, our first guest tonight is Miss Marjorie Lawrence, famous metropolitan soprano. Stricken with infantile paralysis a couple of years ago, Miss Lawrence has fought against this dread affliction courageously and successfully, as evidenced by her recent triumph in the role of Isolde at the Met. Our second guest tonight is Mr. Beverly Kelly of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Combined Shows, or, as all America calls it, the circus, now playing at Madison Square Garden. Mr. Kelly has described the big top to millions over the radio and is well-known author of books and stories on circus life. All right, Ellery?
Thanks, Nikki. Miss Lawrence, who strangled Gabriel?
Well, I don't think anyone strangled him. I think that he slipped and fell on those stones under the juniper bushes.
Yes?
I think the moaning sounds came from natural means somehow. The wind through the rocks or something.
Yes.
So that's what I would say.
Well, thank you, Miss Lauren. And now, Mr. Kelly, who do you think strangled Gabriel?
Well, Ellery, if those footprints outside the cave weren't so small, I think we could blame it on Gargantua. But I think I'm going to put my money on Gabriel's first wife and say that he fell from grace.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Well, how about it, gang? Think you've got the answer? The guests have had their say, and Ellery Queen will tell you the solution in just a few moments. So, to give you a little time to talk it over and make your guesses, here's music by Frank Duval and his orchestra. Soliloquy.
Quiet on the line.
What do you mean?
All right, I'll tell you. Now, first, let's lay the ghost. No ghost killed Hector Gabriel. The strangler's hands were human hands. They left human fingerprints deep in the flesh of Gabriel's neck and throat.
Well, sure, that's right. Then those moans we heard must have been made by the wind through the cave like Dr. Grayson said.
Right, Sergeant. Now, since the strangler had human hands, he also had human feet. And human feet leave prints in mud.
But, Ellery, the only footprints in the mud were Gabriel's. One set, in going.
I know. Gabriel choked in the woods and then staggered across the clearing alone to the cave to die.
Nikki, you yourself pointed out that the trail left by Gabriel's feet across the mud was perfectly straight. Men dying of strangulation don't walk in a straight line. No. When Gabriel crossed that clearing, unlocked the door, and entered the cave, he was perfectly well. So the murder was committed in the cave. And for the murderer to have choked Gabriel in the cave, he had to get there. Problem. How did the killer cross that muddy clearing without leaving footprints? And the more you think about it, the more obvious the answer gets.
What do you mean?
He crossed it on Gabriel's back.
Gabriel carried him.
I know, Dad. Other theories are possible, but my theory can be backed up. What was the exact position of the strangler's thumbs on Gabriel's neck?
The thumb marks pointed upwards in the back of Gabriel's neck.
Which is possible only if at the time he committed his crime, the strangler was behind Gabriel. Strong confirmation that the strangler rode across that mud on Gabriel's back. And when Gabriel entered the cave, the person he was carrying began to choke him before even getting down.
Oh, but Maestro, how'd the killer make Gabriel carry him?
Important question, Sergeant. Grown men don't play piggyback at 5 o'clock of an Adirondack morning. One person carrying another suggests that the person being carried had to be carried.
An injury?
Yes, Dad. Hank Pete just told us he'd found a place in the trail where someone had slipped on loose, wet stones and fallen into some juniper bushes. Hank opined it was Gabriel, because he thought Gabriel was alone. But since we know Gabriel carried someone, isn't it evident that it wasn't Gabriel who slipped and fell, but his companion?
Killer faked a tumble, pretended to twist his ankle or something, said he couldn't walk, and Gabriel lugged him all the way through the woods to the cave.
Exactly. And why? Deliberately to leave only one set of footprints in that mud, Gabriel's, to make us believe that the murder had been the work of a convenient strangler ghost of the haunted cave.
All right, all right. You've accounted for how the strangler got into the cave without leaving prints.
Yeah, but how did he get out, Maestro, without leaving him after Gabriel was dead?
In the only way possible, through that natural window in the cave wall.
What?
Yes, for while no one could have got into the cave through the opening in the cave wall, someone could have got out simply by diving out into the lake below.
But who did all this, son?
Dad, where did Hank say he found the crush bushes?
At the edge of the woods as you entered the trail leaving Dr. Grayson's lodge.
Yes, yes. In fact, Hank said it was only a few yards from the lodge. But observe, the killer pretends to injure himself a few yards from the lodge. Yet Gabriel carries him all the way through the woods to the cave. Why? Why didn't Gabriel carry him back the few yards to the house? Wouldn't he have done that if, say, his companion had been his wife or Dr. Grayson, or in fact, anyone except one person?
One person.
There can be only one reason why Gabriel carried his companion all the way to the cave. And that was because he and the killer were bound for the cave. Because he and the killer were supposed to share the cave for the next 24 hours.
Well, I'll forget.
Gabriel's companion, the man who got his victim up an hour earlier than planned on some trumped-up excuse, who wanted to kill Gabriel because he hated him for over 20 years, and because Gabriel had willed him his unique and valuable psychic library, that man could only have been Ernest Withers.
And there you have the solution to the mystery. How did you GI detectives do? Did you have the right answer? Well, we have a few minutes remaining, so here's more music by Frank Duval and his orchestra. Dancing in the Dark.
This is Andrew Rines with OTRWesterns.com, where we stream live old-time radio westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with a special twist. You select the tracks that get to be played. We've got 1,000 different episodes from shows like Gunsmoke, Tales of the Texas Rangers, Escape, Gene Autry, and many more. Come check us out at OTRWesterns.com/live. Again, that's OTRWesterns.com/live. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. And now, let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, I have to say that I was disappointed that whoever preserved this cut out the musical cues. Unfortunately, unless somebody out there's got an orchestra, not a whole lot we can do about it. They did preserve the armchair detective part, and I did enjoy that. I love puns, and I think, I don't know if the star actually thought he had a solution. But basically went ahead and decided to go ahead and just at least get off a good pun. Overall, a pretty interesting story. We do now turn to our listener comments and feedback. We start off with Dave, who comments, just loving all you got going on. Old-time radio way better than modern TV dregs of tired ideas and reality shows. Thanks for giving my wife and I a reason to snuggle on the couch together. Gathered around the Wi-Fi Bluetooth radio. How about a shout out for us Canadian listeners? All the best. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks so much, Dave. Definitely appreciate your comments, and also retweeted a couple of posts. And thanks to all of our listeners in Canada. Canadian listeners actually account for about 10% of the show's total downloads. So we definitely appreciate all our great Canadian listeners. And now we also have a review from the iTunes store. And this is of the app. Arthur Kimberly writes, can't comment on the quality of the technical, but I'm disabled and have been for almost 20 years. I just love old radio shows, especially detective stories. I have other old-time radio apps, but so far, The Great Detectives is my favorite. And it has TV shows, too. Too many days I'm feeling anxious or down because of my physical limitations, and I turn on Sherlock or Marlowe or one of my other favorites. My mind gets distracted. I feel better 30 minutes at a time. I enjoy the selection, the random playlist, the continuous feedback. My 16-year-old has insomnia issues. I can't count the times we are listening to The Great Detectives at 1, 2, or 3 a.m. He really enjoys listening, which helps him relax and fall asleep. Might take a few shows. The word is enjoy. Well, thank you so much, and really glad we're able to help. Truly appreciate your kind comments out there. Thanks so much. And all the best to you and your son. Well, that will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. And then join us back here again next Tuesday for another episode of Ellery Queen. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.